Let's teach the word of God briefly again today. We are looking at the laws of confessions. Now let's emphasize the S so as to bring out the fact that there are different types, and then within them, different kind of things must be noted as principles and precepts that control our confessions. Last time we began to, I began to give some names to it. So we talked about the law of faith and salvation, something like that. Or is it righteousness and salvation, something like that. And there we talked about the fact that with the heart man believes resulted in righteousness. And as a consequence, he begins to utter words that release effect around him. And that's what the Bible calls salvation. And we said that it's because of the fullness of the word in his heart. If his heart is full of the word of God, it will affect his environment. And the manifestation of that fullness is what he utters. And I said that Christians, we must not put in the effort, all right, to restrain our mouth from talking. Because if indeed our hearts are full, our mouths will speak automatically. All right, that our words are not just words. In the realm of the spirit, they are tangible weapons of war. It's like in the physical realm, you take a gun and you load, let's say it's a shotgun, you load cartridges inside it. Those things are real, all right? And when you fire a shot, there's an explosion, and the cartridges, the pellets inside the cartridges are propelled, all right? Those things are tangible things. In the same manner, in the realm of the spirit, the words that you speak are tangible. I give an illustration that if you go for spiritual warfare, if you were to see a spiritual battle in the realm of the spirit, what will be shooting forth, all right, out and back, all right, to and fro, from one battle zone to another, will be words that people are speaking. And the person with the most powerful words is the one who will win that encounter, is the one that will win that battle. So words are actually, they are not just utterances, they are spiritual weapons. And we said that our angels, all right, that we may have things that God has provided for us, but we are not using them because we are not being careful. Our angels are there. They need words, all right? They use words to effect what God wants them to effect on the earth or in our lives. He said that the heavens, he was talking about the mighty, out of that scripture again, quote for me quickly. He said, bless the Lord, you, his angels, mighty in battle, hearkening to the voice of his word. Let me just read that, all right? Just good to just read it. He said, bless the Lord, you his angels. Verse 20, Psalm 103. Mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Very important. That is the voice of God's word. That is, this is what we do as Christians. We take the word of God and we utter them. And that way we are giving weapons to our angels to fight on our behalf. So that's the law of spiritual weaponry. All right, the words that we speak, they are, you know, I remember quoting that he said the sword of the spirit is the word of God. That is, we're not saying that the sword that the spirit uses, we are saying that in the realm of the spirit, that is the sword. In the realm of the spirit, that is what is willed. These are the, of course, you must understand the way the scriptures, all right, are written. The weapons that men used those days were swords. If it was written today, they would have said, and take the word of the bazooka of the spirit. Yes, I wanted to say. The rocket-propelled grenade of the spirit, the pump action of the spirit, you understand? The AK-47 of the spirit, which is the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's because then what they were using, all right, were swords. So that's why I said the sword of the spirit. If it is now, he would have told you, take the RPG of the spirit, which is the word of God. Do you understand? Instead of bulletproof, inside the shield of faith, to have been the bulletproof vest of faith. That's what I'm saying. Yes, because you know the expression has been relevant. In the realm of the spirit, it's the same thing, but the expression of it in the physical realm is what changes from one epoch onto another. All right? The Lord is good. So that's what I talk about, the law of spiritual weaponry. Then last of all, we now spoke about the law of personal control. That is the control of your life. And I want to pick up from that one today, though I'm going into another kind of confession and another kind of law that controls that particular confession. In fact, let me just use the word of Ed Cole. He calls it the law of release. All right? What did I call it? The law of release, yes. When he was let me just quickly clarify something. I'm just borrowing that expression, all right? he was talking about something. He was talking about forgiveness. His own law of release is forgiveness. That how to get something out of your life. You know, you see a lot of people, they are in bondage. And the reason why they are in bondage is because somebody offended them. And they have not forgiven the person. And that opens the door for evil spirits, all right, into your life. And that's a matter of fact. You must learn the principle of forgiveness. Don't let anybody hold you down because you are trying to retain something the person did against you, all right, in your heart. Forgiveness, it's for your own good, all right? It's important because if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive. That's what the Bible says. So what happens is that you allow evil spirits into your life when you're always angry. Somebody did something to you, you know? That was about 8 years ago, and you are still angry till today. If I read the story of, I think it's Andrew Womack told the story, a woman that was seriously, she had rheumatoid arthritis, all right? She was seriously afflicted, I think, something in her back. Anyway, she had a physical disorder, right? I think it was rheumatoid arthritis. And she had prayed and confessed, and they had prayed for her, nothing was happening until somebody just had a word of knowledge and understanding and just told her something. But there's somebody that she's angry with, and that's true. There was one man she was supposed to marry when she was young. She was in her 50s now. And the person who was telling the story, I can't remember if it was Andrew Mark or not, he emphasized the fact that, look, it wasn't a small thing. Those days, I mean, the young woman was pregnant out of wedlock, you know, and the guy, despite that, disappointed her seriously. So in their season, she was like an outcast. So the guy did her really, really bad. And she has not forgotten after like 25 or 30 years. I don't know what was happening to the guy, and it's not important. What was more important that she was sick and afflicted because she was angry with somebody justifiably. You must understand this. That's a mistake we make sometimes. I think that it deserves it. We know, but you don't deserve to be sick. Amen? You deserve to have things working for you properly. You know, people just take offense. You know, anyhow, they're angry. Some people are angry. Why did my mother come back home 1 month before I was delivered? That's how I'm a Nigerian citizen now. I would have been an American citizen. And the fellow is not making progress, it's because he's angry with the mother. People pick offense for all kinds of reasons. Some offense, let's even forget those silly ones. Some are real. They are justified, you know, humanly speaking. They make sense. It's a kind of an eye for an eye kind of justification. That if we went to Moses to judge this one, Moses would not just tell me, kill him. No, Moses would have told me, kill him. But even then, that's not blessing you. And that's what Ed Cole talked about in his own law of release, okay? So when Ed Cole talks about law of release, that's what he's talking about. I just wanted to drop that. You know, we keep on learning. I must never forget that. You must not hold somebody in your heart. It's not to your advantage. It's not to your advantage at all. After my father died, can you imagine? These my uncles, they had money. They did not help my mother. My mother had to. And since then, if you see the man on the road, you're wishing you'll have a heart attack and die. Unfortunately, the man has refused to die. He's prospering. That's the reason why your business is not working. And you don't realize it. You've tried all kinds of businesses. It's not working. Why? Unforgiveness, anger is just inside there. When those things are there, the Bible says there is every evil work. Every evil work. All kinds of trouble will be coming. I'm just angry. Listen, I'm not. It's justified, all right? I know. So we're not talking about those, you know, some unnecessary anger. You know, like Tyshon Ahren was angry with God. Remember Tyshon Ahren? I was angry with God. He prayed for money. God didn't give him. So he said, there's no God. You're not laughing. Am I the only one finding it funny? Join me in laughing now. Very foolish thing. That the man said, there's no God. Because he asked God for something. God didn't give him. That nonsense. So that's not the kind of what I've been talking about. There are some in which it's real. You know, I mean, we can trace it. If we took the matter to Moses, Moses would judge and say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a nose for a nose. In fact, a head for this one that the guy did to you. But does it make? Is he helping you? He's not helping you. He's not blessing you. You have to go the way of Christ. All right. Even if fellow did it 70 times, 7 times, just forget it. It's not. You don't have the time. You know. Oh God, life is too serious. No, I was talking to one of my senior colleagues today. He said, I hope I've not forgotten. You know, I'm getting old. I said, oh, God, age is not a problem. Age is not a disease. I told him straight. I said, my guy, this age is not a problem. The only reason why you are forgetting things is that you have too many things to think about. I said, that's all. So don't make it look as if age is a problem. And then they say, that's our life. So I was just explaining to him. In fact, the man laughed. He almost fell from his seat. He was laughing. I explained to him. I said, when I was young, I used to remember everything. But this is now, me too, I forget things. I said, why? Because when I was young, all I had to worry about was book. Once I just go to school, I read. Who bought the food? Mm-hmm. If they say price is going up, I only hear my father and my mother say it. It doesn't concern. Nobody tells me to contribute now because price is going up. Rice used to be this price. It is now this price. What concerns me? At night, there's still rice. It's people who are paying for the rice that know that the price is changing. I don't know. They say, can you believe it? Fuel is so expensive now. On Sunday, just start the car. Let me enter. Let's go to church. The cost of the fuel, my son, you know, what is my problem? I don't understand. But then now, praise God. Now, me, they go filling station and they pay for rice. Amen. I'm the one that, check the bank balance. So there are more things to think about. On top of that, you say, I have to remember book. I'm a university lecturer. I have to come and teach the word of God. I'm a pastor. Amen. I'm a husband of one wife. Being married is a very busy thing. Praise the Lord. No one day, I actually forgot my wife's birthday. To tell you that these things are very serious. And, I told the story before. So that day, I was in church. I said, why is this woman looking so nice? My wife was all dressed up. Wore a very nice gown or suit or something, did her hair very well and was talking, and she was supposed to take some announcements in church. I was sitting there watching. I said, oh boy, see, babe, what happened? I didn't know it was her birthday. The Lord is good. I'm not a wicked man, just that life, too many things. No, you know what I'm saying of this thing? So you don't have time to be keeping somebody in your mind. That's what I'm trying to say. All this story, how they tell you. If you are busy trying to be angry with somebody, that's so your wife's birthday will pass. That's so your blessing will come pass one day too. You won't identify. You are busy. You are busy whining. You are getting angry. One day, something bad will happen to him. How does that bless you? It doesn't bless you. It doesn't help you. So just forget it. Some people are angry with their father till today. Because their father was young and he was amongst a group of friends. And the other friend is now a big shot. The other one is a big businessman now. One is a big politician. The father is only the one that's still collecting pension. The guy is angry. And that time, the people were doing this. The father refused. He traveled with one of his cousins and they went somewhere. Look at how life changed now. He vexed with the papa till today because it's called my father. I don't have money. I told you once I went to go and preach. One man said, I still think it's the reason why I went to preach in the way that day. He said, I should help him now. I said, what is it? Otherwise, he's going to do something terrible. What is it? My father is not behaving like a father at all. I said, what did he do? Did your father collect your wife? What is all of this? Your father is not behaving like your father. He said, my father sold land. He didn't give me my portion. I said, the other time you want to bring out your belt, except that your trousers might fall down. You want to just flog somebody right there. How old are you? He said he was about 30, maybe let's say 32 or something like that. At that age, you're expecting your father to be sharing land money with you. Because I'm a preacher, I put on my preacher voice and I counsel him. But if to see in a manly voice, I will beat him. See, which kind of thing is this one? You don't flog you when you're young. May I do it for you when you be adult now? And the man was angry. I had to counsel him and say, no, it's your father's money. Go and make your own. I said, if he sells land, shreds the money, flushes down the toilet. It's his money. You go and make your own and do what the Bible says. His son honors the father. So go back home and honor your father. And I told him, watch my words, or I mark my words. If you do what I'm telling you over the next 6 months, you won't believe the amount of prosperity that will come into your home. What am I trying to say? I'm just giving you Ed Cole's law of release. We'll keep on learning these things. Never can tell when you're helping somebody. All right? That's Ed Cole's law of release. That how do you spell release? This is how you spell release. It's forgivenesss. That's how he spells release. It's forgiveness. You forgive people who have done evil against you. You forgive them. You don't keep them in your heart. Like I was saying, you don't have the time. you have to be blessed. Are you getting my point? You can't expend spiritual energy. You don't have too much of it to be wasting. That's why I'm using that memory as an example. You can't remember everything. You should reserve your brain for remembering correct things. That's Ed Cole's law of release. Amen? Now let's get back to our own now. That's just an extra, you know, for your gate fee. You'll still get the full thing. That's just extra for paying to enter here today. Amen. The Lord is good. And for the record, we didn't collect money. Somebody will be listening to this somewhere and say, they used to charge money. Now you go close in church on Sunday. Everybody. Pastor Frank used to charge gate fees. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so let's sit down on our own message for today. The law of release, the way I'm using it now. And what do I mean by law of release? How to get evil things out of your life. It's a very good one to listen to the Ed Cole's law of release, but we are talking about the laws of confessions, and that will also be applicable when you are trying to operate Ed Cole's law of release, okay? Let's talk about our own laws of confessions. Today's text is from the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Before we read it, let me say this to us again. You can look up. We'll read from around verse, let's just mark where we're going to read, and then we'll get back there in a moment. From verse 5, we'll read to verse 10. So we'll read in a moment. Let me just remind us of something again. This is how God has made life. Life has an order. You know, I keep on saying it. Things have, there are orders, you know, to the way things should be in life. What I mean is that if you want to come in here and you get to the door, this door is made of metal. That's a concrete frame. If you are angry and you jam the door 10 times, you go injured. That door is not likely to bulge. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. What is the order? If you get there and it's locked, you knock. Knock and the door shall be what? Open. That's the order. If somebody's inside, you go there, unbolt the thing, and you are in. If there's nobody inside, maybe they locked it from outside. The order is to call Israel. Hey, where you there? I want to enter into this studio hall. And he brings you the key. And then you put the key. The door is made of metal. Alright? If you do like a ram, you know what they call ram? Ilayah ram, that is Idel Fitri, Abizi, Idel Kabir. The one they slaughter for Muslim festival. That big one. If you move back, time, jam the door. But you know it's not going to move. At the end of the day, you are going to have a depressed core fracture. And the door is still there. It is because that's not the order. Somebody about one-tenth your size will come in, he has the key, he will turn the key, he will open the door, and he won't be injured at all. Many people are blowing things up because they want to enter somewhere. And after blowing the door will open eventually, but the whole building is half destroyed. All the things inside are burnt. Some of the precious things he's pursuing, they are ruined because he did not use the proper order. Life has an order. Let's bear that one in mind. I just want to remind us some of these principles. And one of the principles of God, of worldliness, one of the principles of worldliness is when we try to learn from the world the order of life, instead of going to the maker of life to learn the order of life. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias. He said, it's only in Christianity, and it's a matter of fact, it's only in Christianity that people, that is, we preach. And it is true, I mean, we preach the truth, that there is a spirit, that God, the Father of all spirits, will pour his spirit inside you and change you. Every other religion tells you how you should try. Now, this is what I'm talking about. If the door is locked, many people are trying. They hardly succeed. When they do succeed, in quote, they blow a lot of things up in trying to force that door open because it is not the order. What you must learn as a Christian is the proper order. The Bible says there is a proper order for every event. Don't ever forget that. Another thing is that, listen, many things, there's something my mechanic does this when I used to drive a flat boot, you know what they call flat boot? Mercedes-Benz. My mechanic used to say something, if you want to change a part, those cars, you know, we bought them used, they were old, those days, so they need a lot of maintenance. So he wanted to change a part, and he's maybe a hammering, bang, bang. He said, this is not the original one. Why? He said, because the man who made it normally makes in such a manner that we don't have to go through this process. So if we have to go through this process, We haven't bought the correct one. And sometimes men go through all of that, not because they don't even have the correct part, but because they are not using the correct tools. Most of our mechanics were poorly equipped. Some things are meant to be removed under pressure, you know? But they don't have, so you have to be using hammer and chisel and then destroy other things in the process. What am I saying? Many things we are trying to solve in life, if we learn the proper order, you will find that they are not difficult. I'm going somewhere, I'm not forgetting what I'm talking about. I need to emphasize that. In spiritual things, that's one of the reasons why we keep on having classes like this. And that's one of the reasons why God anointed men and called them teachers. You understand? Because you must learn order. We must learn order. In changing your life, like we said the last time, some people, you know, at the beginning of every year, New Year resolution. Very few people make New Year resolutions about how they talk, what they say. Therefore, most New Year resolutions don't work because they have jumped a major step. In directing your body, that's what I talked about, law of personal control. In directing your body, you say direct the tongue first. So the way of the transgressor becomes hard. The Bible says good understanding produces what? Favor. But the man who doesn't have understanding, his way is hard. He starts doing things with difficulty. So what's your duty as a believer? Learn the proper thing. You know, I'm a teacher of medical students. You know, and one of the things, you know, I had an exam today for my students, and something made me reason again. And I made up my mind, the reason why a lot of people find things hard to learn. You see, students go to class, they read. No, we are the teachers. At the end of the day, they set one simple question, they get zero. But this fellow was in class for 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. I thought about it today. I was just watching students as they were going to an exam hall. I had an exam today. And I was just meditating. I said, no, this is what the problem is. Many of these students don't know anything. Not because they don't have the brain. And somebody not saying that they are not intelligent is not true. They have just been laboring wrongly. There are many more things you can learn that you actually have the capacity to handle in life. More than you have handled already. And one of the problems is that as a child, people redirected your abilities with words, with encouragement, with discouragement. They channel in a particular way, and you have lost direction. Now, you are still going on that direction now and trying to learn as an adult, and everything is difficult. So one of the things you need to do is we can't discuss that now, is to just settle down. One day I told one young man, just as an example. I saw him downstairs. So, boy, how far? Man, he's been struggling with some exams and just been going around in circles, you know, like Israel. In the wilderness, around Mount Seir, go and read Jeremiah chapter 2. They kept on going round and round. So God says, enough now, go this direction. Because these guys have been going round and round and round in one circle. So he has been going around for a while. So I looked at him, I said, oh boy, what's going on? Then his zone, I suddenly understood. I said, hey, come here. You can never pass this exam trying to pass it. What did you say, sir? I said, you will never pass trying to pass. I said, forget passing for a year. Just this subject, I must know it. For a lot of people, the reason why they will never pass is that they're trying to pass. Seek first the kingdom of knowledge, and passing and other things shall be added unto you. It's a scripture. I'm going to an issue here. You see, everything has an order. And it's our duty to learn what? The order. And many things that appear difficult is because we are in the wrong direction. Let me give you another one as Christians. If you try to make money as a believer, you'll be poor. That's it. These are the orders in life. As Christians especially, there's a commandment. Anybody that loves money will not have enough. There are two ways to look at it. Say he's only looking for more. He won't be satisfied. That is one. But there's another one which God says he will have pocket with holes for loving money. Please, we need to get these things clear. That's how learning all these laws of this, laws of that. Okay, please bear those things in mind. So we must learn the proper laws. Last thing, see what I'm saying. So we must bear this in mind. This is a summary of the whole thing. Life is spiritually controlled. What did I say? It's spiritually controlled. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. So you see, there's a proper order. We're talking about the law of release, our own way today. There's a way you break bad habits. I'm narrowing it down now. Talking about the law of release. Walking in righteousness is important for every believer. Not only is it important, it's a commandment. That's your life. You must walk in righteousness. Unrighteousness, wickedness, can form itself into a habit and a stronghold in the life of somebody. It can. In fact, becomes so strong sometimes, he says, like if he, literally a demonic power sits down there to put the person in bondage. I thought about it. In the event of homosexuality, it's a serious problem right now in Europe and maybe North America also. Although in North America, well, don't let me give facts, but it's a serious problem in a lot of places, okay? Now, it's not natural. Listen, let's forget all of this noise about the confusion that science is trying to create, okay? These things are satanic. And you're going to read the scriptures, it says it is because they denied the knowledge of God, therefore God gave them over. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, God gives him over. Somebody receives him on the other side. And the person on the other side is called Satan. It's called Satan. These are demon possession matters. It's so, the people are so possessed by the spirit, they think it is natural, it's part of them. All right? That's a matter of fact. What am I saying? Unrighteousness, wickedness can bind people and it becomes like it's normal. Many people who are doing what is wrong, at the beginning they know it's wrong. After a while, they said, it must be right because I can't help but do it. Let me say something to you quickly. In life, you know, I said these things, they are spiritually controlled. Okay? Number one place you control things in life is in the mind. That is how you reason. It's not how you feel. It is what? How you reason. For example, no matter how you feel about something, if the Bible says, if the word of God says it is bad, just take it as bad, even though it's sweet. Let me give an example. I assume there is one particular food. This is even a very, if I have a better way to illustrate it. Now, many of you know me here, all right? You know me well enough. One, you came to hear me teach the word of God, which is good. I mean, and it's a very wise choice on your part, amen? But apart from that, you understand, you also know my natural profession, okay? So if I put a glass of one nice tasting cold chilled drink here, and you say, ah, can I have that? And you take a sip of it, and I say to you that don't drink more than one sip. If you take a few, if you take more than that, you are going to be injured. You know, instantly you drop it. It tastes nice, doesn't it? It's cold. You need it. You know, you are a weary soul, like the Bible says, that you need this cold thing. But because somebody said to you, it is not good for you, and you know this person, either he understands the spiritual dimension or it's a natural dimension, he says it's not good. You know, you drop it. And if I walk away, somebody will come and say, oh boy, see drink. Say, don't touch it too. That one is risky. And that person says, hey, don't go near it too. That's going to injure you. You know, it's going to put a hole in your liver to connect with your kidney, then come out from your back and you're dead meat. You feel one way, but understanding tells you, you know, because somebody gave you knowledge, it tells you something else. And you stick with that which you are told, no matter how you feel. Is that not true? That's how life is. That's why we're talking about some people are born homosexual. They said, stop telling me lies. The Bible says it's not true. No matter how they feel, they should read from the word of God that is satanic bondage. Period. Number one place where you win your battle in life. And that's how Satan fights. So he reasons, you know. Has God really said, thou shalt not eat of any of the trees that there are? No, none of them. He said, no, what do you mean? We can eat all of them, but the one of this one is sent out of the garden, we cannot even touch. Ah, you shall surely die is a lie. You shall not surely die. Until Satan made that statement, it never crossed Eve's mind that that tree should be touched. That's why she said, we're not supposed to touch it. God said, don't eat it. That's all he said. Well, why did Eve say we shouldn't touch it? Because so much were they persuaded about not eating it that touching it was unnecessary and was not even a temptation until Satan came and introduced a new idea about it. Therefore, what's the duty of a believer, a child of God? Resist every satanic thought. Listen, this man's ministry was ruined for many reasons. Jim Baker. Abi? That was his name? Jim Baker, yes. But there was one tactical error he made one day. He was talking with one man, and he said that what ruined his ministry, one of the things, all right, the way it triggered was his immoral encounter with Jessica Hahn, all right? And how did it begin? One day he was standing with one man, and he just reasoned, they don't mind my wife the way she's misbehaving. Maybe if I just have an affair, she will shape up. It was supposed to be a joke, something like that. But he thought it. He uttered it, and one day, he did it.
It's like, the day you do it, you shall surely die. No, you shall not surely die. That was what he said. And the moment he said, you shall not surely die, somebody gave him the fruit. That was the beginning of the end of his ministry. Don't let anybody reason you away from righteousness. Give an explanation for that which is evil. I like the way they used to say it, those the village headmaster. A bad thing is a bad thing. Kala lang kolo. Kolo long kala. Can you remember? A bad thing is a bad thing. That is a sum of it. That is the beginning and the end. If it is bad, it is what? It is bad. Life is spiritually controlled. When people think one way, eventually their lives align with their thought process, which will have come out through their mouth. Now I keep on saying that, listen, we are all in church. Everybody raise your right hand. Raise your left leg. Say after me, my right hand is blessed, my right hand is blessed, my left leg crushes the head of the devil. As they go, they come off the road. So for Alpha, say, early pastor, now because they don't pay on salary. That is, he just looks for a way to explain a way. He's not, but he was there, shouting, my left hand is blessed, my right hand is in control. You know what I'm saying? But what he's really thinking is when he sits down, he said, those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, not on the pulpit. And the Lord heard it. It wasn't what they were declaring outwardly. It was what they were saying one to another. Let's just tell ourselves the truth. You know, the kind of decisions some Christians make sometimes, it will have shocked me, except that I already understand this principle. That what they are saying to you outside is not what they are thinking. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he really is like. It's not as he says with his mouth. It's as he thinks in his heart. That's one area where you must resist. To Mr. Satan, don't give me ideas. A bad thing is a bad thing. Don't give me ideas. I'm saying all this so we understand that life is spiritually controlled. We're talking about law of release, talking about confession, so I'll get back there. I just want to get all these things together, all right? So you see, two things I need to tie together here. One, what's inside the heart, our viewpoints, our attitude towards things, number one. Then number two, the issue of release, and that's the principle. Now, okay, I was explaining the issue of how things have order and they have keys. Listen to this. I need to say this again. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Let me explain what grace is again. Grace means it's all God's idea and it's all his power to effect it. That's what grace means. You know, by now I'm sure I have more than 100 definitions for grace. This is a new one. It's all God's idea and it's all his power to effect it. That's just what grace is. Grace means that it is not by power. It is not by might. That is my power, not by my might. It's by the Spirit of God working on me. Talking about the law of release. God is saying, if a woman has to break a bad habit, it's not by struggles. No. Because, you know, the person you are struggling with, you know, some of these things are not natural. You've not been saying it. These are satanic matters. And that guy knows how to fight rough if you come to his tough. So what you do is that don't fight on his tough. One of the things you don't reason with the devil. What I mean is this. Are you not hungry? Thou shalt... why do you turn these stones to bread? After all, you are the Son of God. You can do it. And I say, huh? Satan, let me tell you why I shouldn't do such things. What if the press finds out now that is all you have been doing behind? You know, your ministry can come to an end. The other day, Mr. Jale Koko, he turned stone to bread. Half of it was bread. The rest was stone. He choked in his throat. You know, the man just died. You start reasoning with him. You know, if I go and turn it to bread now, he goes halfway. He remains as stone. I start eating. I lose my teeth and I choke. Ha, Satan, it's risky. How do they do? I want you don't do and finish. Satan say, don't worry. He'll just be rejoicing. Say, this one, we don't get this one. He's fighting on our turf. He's reasoning. Don't worry. He tells you, say, come. They told you that it was that what killed that man. Let me tell you what actually killed him. It was because he was eating thorns alongside. Your own, does he have thorns? Is that reasoning? Say, let me explain to you. In fact, there is oil on the side to lubricate any imperfections in the conversion process. Then you come from another angle, you will lose that fight because you are fighting on his turf. And the Lord Jesus never did that. He just said, he went to another level. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how a man lives. That is, bread or no bread, we will survive. Simple. Satan came with another angle. The answer again was, it is written. This is the principle there. The fight is a spiritual fight. You fight on a turf that he does not have. A place for him is slippery. He can't even stand straight. But people want to come to where the devil is experienced. Want to reason away bad things. Reason away bad habits. It doesn't work. You read too many. You know, I told you sometimes, some of the books, some of the self-help books, they are not helping us. They bring us to Satan's level and we start struggling.